Don Van Hatta joins us on the program. Van Natta, I'm sorry, joins us on the program. Hello, Don. How are you?
Doing great, John. How are you?
It's Bob, but that's all right.
I'm sorry, Bob.
That's okay.
It's John over here. It's okay. I thought it was great.
It's John. Okay.
I thought it was great, Don.
Thank you. Bob, you mangled my name.
I know.
Mangled your name.
That's so we're even. We're dead even.
Okay,
I apologize.
Yeah.
I'm always intrigued when somebody goes down a road like this. What were you looking for when you started writing this piece? What did you think you would find?
Well, my colleague Seth Wickersham and I went to the league meetings in New York a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. At a moment in league history, which is, it's a league in crisis. It's not an overstatement to say that. The national anthem controversy has really hurt the league's business. It's hurt its brand. And the owners were getting together to try to do something about it. If it were up to Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, and a handful of the owners led by Jerry Jones, they would have basically every player would be forced to stand and this issue would go away. So Seth Wickersham and I went to New York with the goal of pulling back the curtain, bringing readers into these closed door meetings where the owners, a handful of the owners, 11 NFL team owners and some players met in a historic session that lasted more than 3 hours. And then these very divisive sessions with just the owners trying to wrap their arms around a very difficult problem that, as I say, has really threatened the entire league.
Those are harsh words, Don, when you think about it. Those are harsh words about the state of football right now.
They are, and they're not my words. These are the assessments of owners that Seth and I have spoken with, league executives, Jerry Jones behind closed doors, the owner of the Cowboys, as well as Dan Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, and Bob McNair, the owner of the Texans, spoke very bluntly with their fellow owners. Television ratings are down. Merchandise sales are down. Polls show that this issue has resonated with millions of football fans across the United States that are turned off by the sight of players protesting during the national anthem, raising a fist, kneeling, sitting, staying in the locker room. All these things have really outraged fans. And since Donald Trump said those words, those anti-NFL words at that rally in Hicksville, Alabama on September 22nd, the league has had a crisis that it has failed to wrap its arms around and resolve.
There would be there's a point of contention in there, and that is whether this ratings drop in effect is as a result of the on-field protestations of the players or nothing more than a continuation of what we started to see, the Raiders ratings dwindling last year. Those ratings last year, as you know, were attributed by many, if not most, to the presidential election and a distraction on the part of the people of America during the fall campaign last year. Whether that's true or not is not for me to be able to ascertain. But they have continued and actually gotten worse this year. Is it fair that the owners are pointing the finger at the players and saying that they are the cause of this? Or do you believe there are a variety of reasons, and this may be nothing more than just one of them?
No, I agree. You make a great point. This began last year during the presidential election. I think it's unfair that certain owners are pointing the fingers at the players and their and the handful of players, really, that have been protesting. Point about the league, it's on constantly. It's Thursday night football. Sunday, it's with when the NFL plays in London, it starts at 9:30 Eastern time and doesn't end until midnight at night. That's 15 hours of football on Sunday.
Right.
Then there's Monday night football. I mean, that is definitely a problem. Millennials are turned off by aspects of the game. Certainly the polling has shown that. They've got multiple screens. They're doing other things. it's a big challenge. And of course, the concussions issue and the CTE and the drumbeat of all that, the domestic violence scandals that have occurred, there's a lot of reasons that people may be tuning out from football. So you make a great point. This is not the only factor at play here.
Do you believe Goodell has the support of the overwhelming of an overwhelming number of the owners, or is that support waning?
Oh, I believe the support is waning, for sure. I think that the owners, the most influential owners in the league, are Jerry Jones of the Cowboys, Bob Kraft of the Patriots, the Maras of the Giants, the Rooney family in Pittsburgh, Jerry Richardson of Carolina. And I think...
Did we lose him? Sounds like the call dropped out.
Jerry Jones is in charge of the telephone company, I guess.
We'll try and get it back.
It's an interesting topic, though, Bob, when you consider the classic owners versus players mentality that we see in professional sports, and the fans that are protesting or upset don't seem to be differentiating between the owners and the players.
No, I don't have an answer. I don't know that anybody can accurately ascertain exactly what is the cause of a ratings drop that now has reached about 17%. But it seems clear to me that there are numerous factors involved here, not a single one. And it's not surprising that the NFL owners would point fingers at the players and saying, you know, you are responsible for this. I'm not sure whether behind closed doors they actually believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But like most businesses, somebody has to be the scapegoat. And in this case, the owners are pointing the finger at the players. Don is back with us again. Your line dropped out. You were in the middle of talking about the we heard you mention the Maras, the Roonies. I think that's where you kind of dropped out. If you can pick it up from there, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No problem.
What I was going to say is the most influential owners, that group,
yep.
I think if you were to poll them, you'd find a split on Goodell. Arthur Blank is the owner of the Atlanta Falcons. He is the chairman of the compensation committee that is deciding on Roger Goodell's next contract. Blank is a supporter of Goodell. He wants to re-up Goodell for a long-term contract, but Jerry Jones, who is widely seen as the most powerful of the NFL owners, wants to hold it up. He held a conference call last week, actually a week ago today, with 17 owners, all of whom are not on the compensation committee, and they all spoke quite bluntly, led by Jerry Jones, about Goodell's performance. And there's quite a few people among those 17 that are not pleased, particularly about the handling of the national anthem controversy, because really nothing was done by Goodell or the league office when Colin Kaepernick first took a knee a little over a year ago. Nothing was really done, and the more the hardline owners like Jones and Bob McNair mm-hmm. felt that Goodell should have been more proactive to do something.
Hey, you speak of the hardline guys. Are there, for want of a better word, are there liberal owners in all of this? Are there owners that actually sympathize with the players?
Yes, that's a great question. There are. Jeffrey Lurie of the Eagles is somebody who sympathizes. I think the person who's probably most sympathetic and who is liberal is Jeb York of the San Francisco 49ers, and he's been outspoken mm-hmm. about it. And not coincidentally,
well, that's where it started.
In recent weeks, that's right, that's where it started. And in recent weeks, the most players that have taken a knee are members of the 49ers team, perhaps not surprisingly. Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, is somebody who's liberal and not a supporter of Trump. But then you have quite a few quite conservative owners. Seven of the owners donated $1 million apiece to President Trump's inauguration committee in January. And that group includes Bob Kraft, who considers himself a longtime friend of Donald Trump, as well as Jerry Jones. And Bob McNair, who you guys mentioned at the top, got in trouble for that comment, we can't have the inmates running the prison, is probably the most generous supporter of Trump and most outspoken supporter of Trump. McNair's support runs into the millions of dollars, his campaign contributions.
Last week we had Adam Silver.
Yeah, the thing about the politics, guys, the politics has made this, you know, to be fair to Goodell, even more difficult, because obviously kneeling players plays a lot differently in northern Texas, where Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys are, than it does in Northern California, in San Francisco, you know, where Jeb York and the 49ers are. So, you know, all politics are local, as House Speaker Tip O'Neill said, and you're seeing that as well. It's exacerbating the problem for Goodell and the league office and how to manage it.
I was going to mention that we had Adam Silver on this program last week, the NBA commissioner. We had a rather lengthy chat with him, and he essentially went to the players and said, "I want you to stand. I don't want you to do the kneel thing." And the players bought into it, and they bought into it, I believe, because Adam Silver has a relationship with the players and their union. There's a legitimate bond there. I mean, it's not without issues, but there is a trust factor between the commissioner and the players. And as we know, most of whom are African-American, as is the case in the National Football League. That same relationship, players to commissioner, does not exist in the NFL. Is that, do you think, an issue that could bring Goodell toppling down? Or are these owners impervious to, you know, the realities of what's going on around them?
Well, they very well may be impervious to the realities of these owners. I mean, these are billionaires who live in, you know, rarefied air in America compared to the players and compared to their fans. But you raised a really good point of what Silver told you guys last week. Goodell does not have a good relationship with the head of the players' union, Demora Smith. Their relationship is difficult on a good day. Now, the people in the league office, Joe Lockhart, the spokesman for the NFL, insists in a conversation I had with him last week that Goodell's relationship with this sort of players group led by Malcolm Jenkins is good, and that the players that have been meeting in these closed-door sessions respect the commissioner and are in good relations with him. But I don't think that can be said of all 1,700 NFL players. You know, you talk behind closed doors to some of these players, and they see Goodell as a puppet of the billionaire owners. And so the lack of goodwill there among a lot of the rank and file, and certainly the lack of goodwill between Goodell and the leader of the players' union, certainly makes this much more challenging of an issue for Roger Goodell to try to resolve.
Do you think that Goodell conspired with certain owners in that meeting not to make to ensure that some of the pro-stand owners weren't in the meeting?
Yeah, we reported. We reported in our story that, you know, there was a meeting at the league office before the two-day owners meetings began in New York a couple of weeks ago. There was a meeting in the league office, a pretty unique meeting considering it occurred mid-season, between 11 owners and a dozen players and one former player. There were also three union leaders that were there. And we reported that Roger Goodell kept Jerry Jones out of the meeting because Jerry Jones is somebody who is the leader of the pro stand hardliners. And he did that on purpose because he was worried that Jerry Jones was going to hijack the meeting and it would become much more of an emotional discussion about Jones's insistence that there should be a mandate to require all players to stand. So Goodell did that. And then, you know, Jerry Jones accepted that. But then at the meetings that occurred in New York at the Conrad Hotel in Lower Manhattan later that day and the following day, Jones argued strenuously and vigorously for an anthem mandate that the majority of his fellow owners just did not want to do. Because I think they believe that if you do that, there'll be a backlash among the players there'll be hundreds of players kneeling just as they did the weekend after Donald Trump said what he said,
right.
And then that'll make a bad problem much worse.
Wow. Hmm. It is a fascinating story, but it is not anywhere near its end. I think you would agree, Don. I don't know where we are in it. Are we at the very beginning of it? Are we somewhere in the middle of it? I'm pretty comfortable in saying we're nowhere near the end of it. And I'm not sure anybody knows how this is going to turn out, either for the league or for the commissioner, and which owners are going to wind up on what side of the equation here. But we trust that you will continue to follow it, and if we can, we'll stay in touch with you. We thank you for today.
I appreciate it, guys. Good to talk to you both.